Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgi Jorgensen, and we've got a room full of experts. Sam, today our topic is going to be emergency plans.
Yes.
And with us today is John Cameron from the Cameron Law Offices and Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Everybody ready to go on emergency plans?
Absolutely.
This is a topic that at my firm we've put seminars on occasionally, and it's a topic that I think for our listeners, the Today's Business Radio can pull together some of our guests and our experts and put on a panel for if any of the listeners want us to come out and speak to them. But for emergency plans, there's two areas. One is disaster planning, such as natural disasters, and the other area is what happens if a business owner is injured or dies. So let's take the first one, disaster planning. If there's a natural disaster, or a flood, fire, tornado, hurricane, those kind of things. Usually a business that's well-organized will have a plan to deal with that because they have to react quickly to their customers and their employees and their vendors. And if you have a good plan for that, one of the parts of the plan that are necessary is a good insurance coverage. And Chad, can you give us a little background on what types of insurance are available for to take care of, say you get a fire in a business?
Sure, Tom, I'd be happy to. One of the things that a lot of people do when they talk about their insurance and they meet with their agent, everybody considers the obvious, and that's, you know, the property coverage that they need to have in the event of this fire or tornado. Nobody really plans in the event of a total loss. They think that somebody's going to come out, they're going to cut them a check, and they're going to move on, and they forget there's a lot of things that can happen between the time that that fire went down and getting back up and going again. So you need to be planning ahead of time as far as what are you going to do with your vendors, what are you going to be doing with your employees, where are you going to move? And these are things that you need to sit down, make an inventory of. There are ways to cover this. And one of the most misunderstood coverages is business income because, again, a lot of people, we're going to come out, we're going to cover that building. And people understand the property portion of it. But what are you going to do with the lost wages? What are you going to do? Your employees are going to want to get paid. Your vendors are going to be doing business with others if you can't back and respond to them. You've got a loss of earnings. So these are all things that you need to sit down with your CPA, go through the worksheets that we've talked about before in some of our prior shows, and really have a game plan in place and make sure that you've got adequate limits.
Is there a time frame that we're talking about that people should be planning for, like 6 months, a year?
I think as long as you can get at least a year, because
oh, really?
Especially if you're in a retail area, we do some insurance for some restaurants, and if you're a restaurant in a key zone and you go down, you're not going to be up as fast as you think you're going to be, and in the meantime, your clients, and that's kind of a sensitive industry, in the meantime, those clients are going to go to other places to dine, and they may forget about you, especially if you're a boutique restaurant.
Right.
You know, if you've got a major brand like a McDonald's or a Burger King or something like that, then maybe they'll return just because they'll identify with the brand, but still, you're going to be down for at least a year, and whatever your limits are, I'm willing to bet they're probably not high enough.
Yeah, I would never have thought of a year. I would have thought, 2 months, maybe 3 months.
Sure, and then the other consideration is the payroll. You've got employees, and you're going to have key employees. If you've got no revenue coming in, how are you going to pay these people? Now, there's insurance. The business income will cover that, but you need to make sure that you've got the ordinary payroll covered. Every form from every company is a little bit different. Everybody's going to have a different deductible. Everybody's going to have a different coverage form. They may or may not pick up ordinary payroll. They may or may not have a deductible of 24 hours, 36 hours.
Give an example. I'm kind of...
An example of, as far as how a form would pay. I mean, in some circumstances, you'll see on a business income limit, you'll see something that says actual loss sustained. And the agent will say, okay, look, in the event of a business income loss, you're going to get whatever your loss is. The actual loss is what we're going to pay. Well, the devil is in the details. So when you look at the form, they're going to pay the actual revenue loss, but not for any payroll. So you will have this loss where you're going to lose a key employee because they're not going to be compensated at that time. You need to make sure that that coverage is in place.
Okay.
So we should probably walk through an example, John. If you've got a one of your clients, a business owner, runs a manufacturing or a distribution business, and let's say they get that call in the middle of the night, there's a fire. The next morning, that night actually, at the fire, they'll be down there to see what kind of damage there was. And the next morning, they've got some issues to deal with. And one of them is, how do we communicate with all of our employees? And then once we've found all the employees, we've got to find a place to set up temporarily. So you really need to have kind of an action plan in place. What happens first? What happens second? Have we got the insurance coverage in place? Do you help some of your clients with these type of issues in their emergency planning?
Well, absolutely. When someone comes in, and whether they're a new company or an existing company, we find that there's a number of areas where things come up, for example, not only disaster, but employment-type claims and things like this, where one time through one of these, and people, once they've been through it once, they would absolutely do this planning. From the back end, you see the value. From the front end, we're all busy, but this is the important thing that, Tom, we've talked about in the past of having a team that you work with where they're all involved. When we work with somebody from that inception, we find out who their trusted advisors are with respect to not only accounting but insurance to coordinate that. We have a lot of clients who maybe either lease or are owners of property and leasing it, and there's specific language in the leases that deal with a lot of these things. So when there is a property loss, that is the tenant going to pay these costs? Is the owner going to pay them? But there's going to be some loss of income, as we've discussed, and these things all need to be planned. So we see it all the time with clients. Some are much better and more proactive about anticipating these things. One of the big things is over the years is we've seen for disaster planning is on a lot of their technical their data storage and things like that. It's more common in say the coast areas, but there was a story years ago when I forget which hurricane it was, maybe 15, 20 years ago, that took all of Burger King's records right out the. All the glass was off the building, everything was gone. Not only were they out of business and a lot of the issues we've just discussed, but now where's all their data? Where's all their records? Where are those things? So that, when we talk with them, we talk to them about make sure you have the proper coverages, and also in the discussion, where are you going to go? How are you going to back these things up? What are the costs going to be involved? And that's, I think, what we're talking about here with respect to making sure you have the proper coverages.
So then as far as everybody's more computerized today than they've ever been, and all their data and all their customer information, their employees' information, it's all on servers somewhere. But it's probably a real good idea to have some off-site data backup that you can access the next morning if there was a fire. And then, of course, you have to find all your employees. And the real order of the day is protect your customers. Mm-hmm. If you're down and you're out of business for 30, 60, 90 days, what do you think your competitors are going to do? They're going to be right after all your customers, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we talk about in this, and actually it was a great point with the hurricane, we had a couple of stories that we've shared personally where we had some people with the business income loss being about 5 or 6 times greater than what their actual property loss was because they weren't able to go in. Civil authority was declared, and this was down in down in New Orleans, I apologize, Katrina. When Hurricane Katrina had hit, we had a vendor that had a client that had a warehouse down there, and the property loss was about $50,000. So civil authority was declared. They weren't allowed to go back to the property to protect it. So they were down for 30 days to begin with. By the time they got in there, they thought they'd be able to get up and running because they did have a little bit of a disaster plan in place, but they never anticipated something to that level.
No.
They weren't able to get a warehouse within 60 miles of their location. And the costs were quite a bit more than what they anticipated to rent. So all of these things, the claim there ended up being, like I said, 5 to 6 times. So fortunately, we did have a limit in place, and it was able to pick it up. But after that, they paid very close attention to their business income portion. They paid very close attention to their disaster plan. And, they were fortunate. We have others that they have that property loss. The fire comes through, the tornado comes through, and they're not back up in business again. They have to close the doors because they never anticipated what was going to happen in the event of the total loss. They just kind of thought that everything was just going to naturally come back to them. And there are some unique coverages with business income that you can do. Let's say, for example, you're a manufacturing firm and you're dependent upon one other entity for the majority of your sales. Well, you can go so far as to cover yourself in the event that they have a loss. So if you're doing 90% of your manufacturing for this other entity, you can protect yourself if they have a fire or if they have a tornado. So it's just taking this inventory and sitting down, talking to your attorney, talking to your CPA, and saying, okay, look, here's what my business needs are. You have to open up and be honest about it because, we can only get the information from you that you're going to, you know, let us know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people, a lot of business owners keep it kind of protected and close to their vest. They need to open up and have these discussions so that everybody knows what their goals are, so that we can make sure that we've got a plan in place that's going to protect them and keep those doors open in the event of that loss.
There's another interesting point for those business owners that have customer concentration issues. In other words, one or two of their customers represent a large percentage of their business. They really should be talking to you about that during their annual checkup when they're talking about what happens if the worst case happens, because you can insure against some of those things and buy yourself some time while you find other customers and while that customer gets back into place.
Yeah, I mean, you can't cover in the event of a bankruptcy, unfortunately, but you can cover in the event of a loss that happens at that other entity. So, I mean, again, as you're thinking things through and you're looking at it, those people, those nights that you're laying awake and you're staring at the ceiling going, geez, what if this was to happen? You know, there's a lot of people that would lose. If one customer left them, they would lose 50% of their business. Now, how are they going to protect themselves?
And we had an example of that recently in southeastern Minnesota where there was a plant, was it a poultry plant or something down in near the Rochester area?
Yes.
There'd be a good example of they had a catastrophe on site, but look at all the other ancillary businesses that would obviously have been impacted by that.
Yeah, absolutely. And all you have to do, and in the business income sheet, you would sit down and you'd be looking at doing this inventory and talking about those vendor relationships. And you would have to get, if they're not named, if you don't have, it's called contingent business income. If it's not on that policy, you do not have it. And they're not going to cover everybody. They're going to cover that specific vendor. So you have to have it named. So if you don't see it, and you haven't considered it, now's the time to be thinking about it and at least reaching out to your agent and talking about it.
You know, you don't want to borrow trouble. Business owners are busy people, like you said, John. They run out of day every day before they run out of things to do. But when they have the annual checkup and the annual review of the insurance, disaster or emergency planning should be one of the topics. And of course, when they come in and have their annual checkup with their attorney, you should be talking about, have you got your data storage backed up off site? Do you have employee lists and employee information? Do you have customer information? Do you have all of that stuff available so that in the event something happened, you can at least react quickly the next day and stay in business?
And these are really key things we're hitting on, because the tangible assets we can all see and we can all say, well, I own that, but we're really hitting on the intangible aspects of the business that have great value, maybe specifically to that company. But it's a great point about how you're going to get from the day of the disaster to back in business. And there's so many issues that are beyond the scope we're talking about that can impact getting back into business. You know, you might find a location. I have a client right now that has been taken out of business by condemnation, found another commercial property, but it happens to be abutting with a school, so that impacts their ability to go there. They thought they had everything lined up. They have the moving trucks lined up for this weekend, and when I get out of here, I'm going to help them try to solve that problem.
But the best laid plans sometimes don't work, do they?
Right, and that's why, you know, it's easier to be proactive in these situations. And maybe the first time you do this annual review, you may not catch everything, but you start working through the process and developing it over time as your business develops.
Is there a way for me to? I do a lot of the cloud server type of work. Excuse me. And is there a way to ensure that customer data, all of that it's not?
Absolutely, Sam. There are some forms that are out there that will cover cyber liability, which is going to take care of a hacker. You can handle breach of security. So if you've got a breach and somebody has been able to hack in and you've got sensitive data that's now been, you know, out there in the public, it's in the wrong hands. One of the things that you do need to report if you've had a breach, and that can be very expensive.
But what if that facility goes down where your racks are?
You can have a business income loss, absolutely. You can cover your business income if you've got, let's say you do a lot of e-commerce,
mm-hmm.
and if your site was to go down for a period of time, you're going to lose revenue. There are coverages in place for that. And again, that's a separate process that you're going to have to go through, because they're going to want to know everything about the servers that you're using, how are they housed, how are they firewalled, what protections are in place, what type of software are you using. But you want to make sure that you're doing that, because again, this is your livelihood.
Right.
So if all your money or all your revenue and your livelihood is being driven from e-commerce, and that goes down, and then you want to look at those deductibles again too, and see if, you know, because you might be up and running in 36 hours or something like that, and in that 36 hours it might be the day before Christmas.
Well, I was thinking more if that facility goes down because of a fire or earthquake or something like that, are all of their customers, they wouldn't be named, I would assume.
Well, if you've got, they'd have full redundancy. I mean, that's something that we need to bring the tech guy back. But you would hope that they've contemplated that. And if not, you know, if if it's me in my basement, you might want to switch vendors.
There we go again. Chad, we should probably refer back to those first couple of podcasts we did. One was insurance for startups.
Yes, sir.
Liability exposures, and then we did insurance for maturing companies. Business owners are out there, and they've got plenty of things to spend money on, and what they want to do is spend what they have to. And, of course, when you're just starting a business, you don't have a lot of money to spend on insurance. But when you have that annual checkup, what you need to discover, what I'm hearing is, what are the major liability exposures that could put a dent in your business or put your business down, and is the insurance coverage available, and is it affordable at that particular time, or is it something they deal with in the future? So this annual checkup business is really a big, very important idea, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to make sure that you're reaching out and talking to the right parties, and then this whole business planning and disaster planning, I think, is kind of the root and where you start. This is the base upon which you should just begin your business. You need to sit down with an attorney. You need to sit down with a CPA, and you need to lay out what your goals are. The insurance guy should come in. I hate to say this, but we should come in last. You lay out, make sure you got the right contracts in place, make sure that you've got the right business model in place, and then bring us in to tell us exactly what you're doing so that we can make sure that you're properly insured.
And here are the liability exposures that can hurt us at this time, and let's cover for those, and then we'll move on and we'll cover some more as we go.
Yeah, because your contracts are going to be in place with your attorney, and then what's going to happen with your CPA or whatever accounting firm you're deciding to use is that you're going to have your equipment lists in place. They're going to do all that work, and then that's going to be laid out to us where we can see kind of this overview of what your goals are, and then we can make sure that, okay, here's where your exposures are. Here's what you have. You've got a major exposure to this vendor. You know, you've got a major exposure to business income because, you know, if you're going to get up and running again, it's going to take a lot longer than you anticipate. You know, you need to be thinking about these things first, like we talked about before. And even, I wouldn't even wait. I would encourage people to not wait to their annual review. If you don't have a disaster plan in place, I would encourage you right now to reach out. And, I mean, make sure that you're talking to people that can do this for you.
It really should be a component of your original business plan, and in each business plan as you update it, and keep that as a live document.
Absolutely. I've been doing this for 18 years, and I've seen businesses just unfortunately go out of business because they did not contemplate. They thought, well, I have insurance. Yeah, you do have insurance. But your insurance is not going to take you zoning issues that John had talked about before. I mean, those are great points because it's not going to get back as fast as you think. The fire department's going to come out. They're going to inspect the fire. Then they're going to rezone. There's going to be ordinance and law issues. You know, there's all of these other ancillary things that come into play that you're going to, you know, not have contemplated. And if you don't have it, you're not making money in the interim. You know, if you don't have something where you have this plan to get yourself back up and running again, or at least have adequate revenue and coverage for that revenue so that when the time comes, you haven't, you've lost a step, but you can get up and run again.
Really goes back to your team once again. You've got an experienced business attorney, you've got an experienced accountant, you've got a good insurance agent, and they can point out some of the things that they've seen in their careers that can stop a business before you even get started or put you down. So then you can consider those items in your emergency plan and factor that into your business plan. We need to get to the second part of this, and the second part is, besides natural disasters, what happens if the business owner is hit by the bus? What if he's injured? What if he's disabled? And worse, what if he dies? And John, I'm sure you've seen this in a lot of small businesses. The owner is the key player. He's the salesman. He's the accountant. He's making the product. He's delivering the product. He's doing everything. Well, if that key person goes down and there's no plan, that can put the business down and put a lot of people in jeopardy in a hurry, can't it?
Especially when there's maybe one or a few key people. You know, I represent a number of smaller, closely held companies, and they kind of break down their positions by sales, production. Maybe somebody's doing. We've got one company where one of the individuals is an engineer who's responsible for a lot of their development stuff. So they really work together in different disciplines. But if one of them goes down, not only do they have the issue of how they're going to fill that need, but they also have the issue of how are they going to. This person had an ownership stake in the business, whether they're disabled or they are unfortunately deceased. There has to be some way to fund this transition, because now you have someone who is making a regular contribution to the business on a regular basis as an owner. They're not only an owner, they're one of the workers too. And you need to figure out, how are you going to fill that talent void? And second of all, how are you going to deal with their ownership because now if there's no insurance in place, now the resources that are required to compensate the heirs of that individual may put a huge burden onto the company.
John, in one of our first podcasts with you, we talked about entity selection, and we talked about partnership agreements, buy-sell agreements, membership agreements, those type of things. And usually in there, you've contemplated the transfer of the business in the event of death or disability, those kind of things. And I think in that instance, we were talking about some disability insurance, life insurance, some of those type of deals. And even when you have a business where it's a single owner, you can still protect against those things if they've chosen a general manager or a key person and they've funded some of that with life insurance. That business can go on. Those customers can be taken care of. The employees can stay in business if they've contemplated the fact that what happens if. And so you factor that into some of those agreements, haven't you?
Absolutely. You know, we document that early on in the process. But where there sometimes can be a drop-off is very similar to what we've talked about on the insurances, is that people say, yeah, I have insurance, you know, but they haven't thought through what all the components of these are. And as most of, you know, my clients are aware of, when you have a company, you have staff, you have families that rely on their income from that company. You know, we kind of focus on the owner of the company, but most of the owners of the companies that I work with feel a real sense of an obligation to the people that have made contributions to their company. And so you're absolutely right, Tom, that transition of making sure that there's adequate planning in place to make sure that that company can go on into the future beyond the life of the startup person or the owner. And that goes in two components, making sure that they raise the talent internally to do that, but also to make sure that the resources are available to gap that. Here we're not talking about losing your building, but anytime you lose kind of the big toe, the main guy, you're going to have a situation where there's going to be some lag in that transition.
Well, and time here is the enemy, because if for some reason the owner is disabled or dies and the family decides they want to sell the business, that can take 6 to 9 months to find a buyer and put that in place and sell it. In the meantime, who's going to run the business? How are you going to fund it? What happens to your line of credit with the bank? Who's the key employee that's supposed to fund it? If you haven't thought through some of these issues and put a plan in place, that's when a lot of businesses can fail.
Well, you're really hitting on something important. Is you'll sell the business. It's just at what price. I mean, if you've got to sell it, if it's really under a cash crunch and it doesn't have the resources to sustain itself through that stabilization period following this tragic event, I'm sure you're going to find a buyer for the business or its assets, but it's not going to be the value that you had hoped or anticipated.
The enterprise value might be dramatically less than what you thought it was worth when it was up and active and the owner was there, wasn't it?
Right.
So what to do?
And to help us with that, Chad, you've got one of your partners here, John Corby, from the Nesbitt Agencies. And John, in this type of scenario, when we're talking about an owner being disabled or an owner dying and funding buy-sell agreements, what type of insurance products are available for that?
Well, obviously, you're talking about a lot of different scenarios. I mean, it depends on what is the goal that we've got in place. I mean, when you talk about life insurance, and everybody thinks about dying, everybody talks about, you know, I need life insurance, but are we funding for the you know, continuance of the business? Are we paying off the spouse? You know, what is it that our goals are? And that's obviously where your lawyers and your CPAs come into play. So we talk about that all the time. And what we do is, you know, there's a lot of different options and different products out there to fill those gaps. Obviously, if somebody dies and you get the value of the business there that you want to, you know, forward on to the spouse or the family, you know, there's a value there. But, you know, most of the business owners today, they don't think about if they get hurt, if they get disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, you know, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to live if you get hurt? If you're down for 6 months or a year, whatever, you got to start thinking about that. I mean, who's going to run the business? You know, how, you know, what is it you're going to do to live on? So there's a huge gap, and you start looking at statistics, and you got maybe, you know, 15-20% of the population out there that truly have, you know, the full capacity of what they need for insurance. But otherwise, you know, there's a gap there that people don't realize that they have to fill, you know, in case they become disabled.
So the disability insurance is your tool to help fight the time issue that can really harm a business owner if they're disabled.
Absolutely. It's a huge problem today because, you know, let's face it, you got to pay the bills. And, you know, people need that coverage to make sure that they can continue their way of life. And you know, the average disability will last, you know, typically 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're going out 18, you know, months to a couple of years, what is it that you're going to do to pay the bills and to help run that business and get back on your feet? And there's a lot of different policies out there that, you know, if you are totally disabled, perhaps you need coverage to age 65 and fill that gap until, you know, maybe you're going to get Social Security or what have you.
Now, for a business owner, there's going to be two sides to this. There's going to be the bills at home, the personal side, because you got to pay your mortgage and take care of those things. But then if you take that business owner who's the key employee out of a business, now you got a problem on the business side, too.
Well, absolutely. And you know, that leads us into even further, you know, discussions about your key employees, you know, making sure you have disability policies on those people that you need in place. You know, you've got your employees, and that can, you know, have an LTD, even your long-term disability policy for your routine employees or your average employees, but the ones, your key employees, you got to really look at what it takes to, you know, have a complete package in place to protect everybody's interests.
Give me an idea when it comes to these emergencies. What is the percentage of actual death versus disability?
Well, you're probably somewhere in the 80-90% percentile as far as being more likely to be disabled versus dying.
It's totally reversed. Yeah,
most of us think
about just being gone.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how people think. You know, it ends. We go on, and you know, so be it. But you know, if you don't, you know, if you can't work, what are you going to do? How are you going to pay those bills? What, you know, how are you going to support your family?
Medical science has come a long way. People survive now. But do they have the ability to do what they did in the past?
Absolutely.
And every business owner's had an opportunity or had a case where maybe they lost a key employee, they lost a key salesman, they lost someone. It takes a lot of time to find a replacement and somebody that can do that and teach
training.
Them, get them back up to speed. I mean, these kind of things can really hurt a business severely.
Well, and it also, you know, you bring up a good point too, where there's different levels of disability. So you're talking about, you know, the contracts that you're looking at, and you know, if you're partially disabled, you know, are you going to be able to do your current job or go into something else that, you know, perhaps the disability carrier will try to put you into another area of, you know, of vocation, and that leads to a totally different issue.
Well, we've gotten a good start on this discussion, but in a half-hour podcast, we can't cover everything, which is why we're making the offer to our listeners to put together a panel and come out and put on a presentation and have a good question and answer service period at the end. John, any final thoughts on emergency planning?
Well, I think that your suggestion is excellent to get together you know, accept any invitation to do that, because I think it's a fascinating topic that I think a lot of businesses or majority of businesses could benefit from.
It'll be a little different discussion for a service company and maybe a different discussion for manufacturing and different discussion for distribution, depending on what the business needs. Chad, any final thoughts?
Well, actually, Tom, just the what I'd said before is, you know, we talked about the annual reviews and so forth, but I wouldn't wait. If you haven't been thinking about these things, I would take you up on the offer that you threw out before to get people involved and have us come out and sit down and go through these things. Business planning and disaster planning crosses over all industries, like you mentioned. If it's retail, wholesale, you know, if you're in the construction area, it doesn't matter. These are important topics, and you need to be thinking about them now before it's something has happened and you don't have something in place.
And let's help those business owners discover those liability exposures that could really put a crimp in their business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're only going to know it by doing this.
Well, this has been a great discussion, but we're just about out of time for this podcast. So I'm Tom Lyons for my co-host Sam Zordich, our producer Jorgie Jorgensen. Thank you, Mr. Cameron from the Cameron Law Firm, and Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies for being with us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thank you.
For all our listeners out there, if you or one of your business organizations would like us to put together a panel and come out and talk to you about emergency planning for business, please contact me, Tom Lyons, at todaysbusinessradio.com, and we'd be happy to set that up for you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.